with What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Big oil companies continue to boost production in the Permian Basin.
Chevron is about to double its production in the next 5 years, and Exxon, I think, is probably going to do the same. The guidelines they've given, I guess by about 2025, each company will be producing 1 million barrels of oil and gas a day.
Wall Street Journal reporter Bradley Olson joins us with more details in just a moment. But first, here are some other top stories we're following. After spending 3.5 months in a Tokyo jail, former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn was released Wednesday after a Tokyo court granted his release on bail of nearly $9 billion earlier this week. Wall Street Journal reporter Sean McLean says Ghosn's trial isn't likely to begin for at least 6 months, and he'll remain in Japan until it starts.
Carlos Ghosn is charged with hiding deferred compensation on Nissan's financial disclosures and funneling about $14.7 million of Nissan money to the business of a Saudi friend. Over the past two decades, Mr. Ghosn built a globe-spanning auto alliance between Nissan, Renault, and Mitsubishi Motors. Now those companies are looking at a future without their architect of the alliance at the helm.
Ghosn lost all of his executive posts after his indictment in Japan. For the latest details, head to WSJ.com or the WSJ app. Scott Gottlieb, head of the Food and Drug Administration, is resigning from his post, with his exit taking effect sometime over the next month. During his two-year tenure, Gottlieb sought to crack down on cigarette makers and speed up the approval process for generic drugs amid rising prescription drug costs. The Wall Street Journal reports that Gottlieb told those close to him that he's resigning to reduce the strain on his wife and children. He's been commuting to work in Washington from his home in Connecticut during the work week. Retailers Target and Kohl's reported higher sales over the holiday season, and both offered upbeat outlooks for the coming year. Both have worked to adapt to more shopping happening online. Target has renovated hundreds of its locations and added brands, while Kohl's has been working with Amazon to sell its products in stores. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg isn't running for president in 2020, citing in an opinion article in Bloomberg News, quote, the difficulty of winning the Democratic nomination in such a crowded field. He also cited his interest in working on projects outside of Washington, including gun control and education initiatives. Bloomberg did say he believes he would defeat Donald Trump in a general election. Still to come, oil companies continue to ramp up production in the Permian Basin. Big oil companies are boosting production in the Permian Basin. Both Chevron and ExxonMobil have big plans in the coming years. Joining me now in our studio to talk more about the growth there is Wall Street Journal reporter Bradley Olson. Bradley, the Permian Basin in Texas and New Mexico has led to an oil boom in those areas, mostly driven by growth in hydraulic fracturing in the region. Tell us a little bit more about the growth there in recent years.
Well, the growth in the Permian Basin has been tremendous. I mean, I think it's approaching almost 4 million barrels a day, which if you were to rank that area along with OPEC nations, it would exceed or be close to being able to exceeding Iran and Iraq. So I think a lot of people, because it's sort of West Texas and New Mexico, somewhat rural, it's just something that people may not pay that much attention to, but the growth there has really been surprising and tremendous.
Now, both Chevron and ExxonMobil have recently detailed plans to expand in the area. What can you tell us about what they're planning?
So Chevron is about to double its production in the next 5 years, and Exxon, I think, is probably going to do the same. The guidelines they've given, I guess by about 2025, each company will be producing 1 million barrels of oil and gas a day. And to give you some context on that, you know, right now, each company, you know, that would make up about a third of Chevron's total production. If that were true right now, and Exxon, that'd be about a fourth of their total production. So it's a major shift to the United States and to sort of North America that's going on with some of these big companies. And it's also somewhat unprecedented in one field for one company to have 1 million barrels a day. It's totally unusual. And it sort of reflects this push that a lot of the bigger companies are finding that they can get, you know, good profits, good returns from the Permian Basin. Or they hope they can, I guess you could say. And it's an opportunity where they have a lot of land and they feel like this is one of the most stable areas where they can operate.
And we know that big oil companies did very well in 2018, but what does their expansion, particularly in the Permian Basin, mean for those smaller companies in the region?
Well, in many cases, there could be a squeeze. You know, if you have these big companies that are growing at a huge rate, They're going to be able to lock up pipeline space, labor contracts, all kinds of things will be easier for them because of how big they are. And also because of the way that these big oil companies kind of go about their business. You know, the Chevron CEO told us in an interview that they have, you know, they've reviewed 25,000 wells, and they created this sort of massive development plan, which, you know, that includes kind of the optimal spacing, how far wells should be spaced apart, all these kind of things. And so they're going about this in a very meticulous kind of programmatic way that is designed to make money. And a lot of the smaller companies, I think, will face cost pressure because of that. And then a lot of them, too, have found it to be difficult. They've tried to undergo a shift, focusing more on returns, making money, and kind of having fracking be about profit. Before now, it's really been a lot about growth. How much can I grow production every year? But investors are saying, hey, it's time for this to make money. We're 20 years in. We've been waiting a long time. You need to make money now. And so as they've kind of gone through that shift, a lot of them have not performed as well as I think many people would have expected based on the way they set expectations.
Overall, what do these projections that Chevron and ExxonMobil are making for the coming years tell us about what we can expect for oil production nationwide?
Well, right now, the United States is already the biggest producer in the world. I mean, I think we're over 12 million barrels a day, so that's more than Saudi Arabia and Russia. And I think in the coming years, that's likely to continue. There is some debate about how much higher we can go. You know, a lot of shale wells decline quite rapidly. And so as you build up a large base of production and you have every year, rapidly declining wells, it's sort of a question. The bigger you get, the harder it gets to continue growing. And so that's kind of an open question, how long that kind of record production will last. But at least for the next 2 or 3 years, people envision continued growth every single year. And there are some projections that say, 15 million. Some go as high as 20 million, 25 million barrels a day. But I really think that's kind of pie in the sky at this point. It's hard thing to predict more than a few years into the future with the oil business.
Bradley, investors have expressed concerns about how these companies turn a profit. I'm wondering if environmental concerns have come into play here as well, considering hydraulic fracturing and the rise in that practice.
Well, it has been controversial really since the outset. I mean, I think the documentary Gasland, which the industry really sharply disputes a lot of the things that come up in that documentary. But, fracking has come with controversy, and I think that those concerns will continue, especially in the Permian, as things continue to grow, as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You've got they need a lot of water, to frack those wells. And then the wells that when they start producing, it produces a lot of water. And then they need somewhere to put that water. And so they inject it deep underground. And those injection wells have been linked to earthquakes and other settings. And so basically, these problems compound. And it just really depends on the quality of regulation, I think, and really whether the industry is careful and polices itself as these things kind of come to bear. Another major concern is flaring. In the Permian, natural gas is produced alongside the oil. Many of the producers don't really care about the value of the natural gas because they really want the oil. And so in many cases, they'll flare it. They'll kind of set it aflame in a controlled way, but that causes pollution. And so the idea that flaring would continue to increase at a really high rate is, troubling to people who live there. Now, this is not a highly populous area, but just saying when you think about the growth that they're going to face and the growth that's going to occur in the Permian, those things are, serious and something that companies and regulators will have to pay a lot of attention to.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Bradley Olson joining me in our studio in New York to talk more about growth in the Permian Basin. Bradley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.